Dale can get his breath now for a few minutes, but I got to keep working. If you'll remember in our Bible class this morning, as we started the introduction to the book of Colossians, we made mention of the fact that in chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, Paul began talking about a prayer that he was praying for the Colossian brethren. And I titled the lesson in our study together tonight, Paul's Prayer for the Colossians. If you'll remember when we studied from the book of Ephesians, Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15, going through verse 19, talked about a prayer to the Ephesian Christians. He also, in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19, said, I bow my knees to my Father that He might grant you the riches of His glory and the strength with might by His Spirit for the inner man. Now there's two prayers in Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 3. There's two more prayers in the book of Colossians, and when we get to the book of Philippians, there'll be another prayer there that he prays for the Philippian church. Now notice, if you will, in Colossians chapter 1, as we talked about this morning in our Bible study, verses 3 through 8, he thanked God for their faith in Christ, for their love for the saints, and for the hope that they have as an inheritance lying ahead. When you really stop and think about it, Paul has now prayed four prayers that we know of. We may see another. Four prayers that he prayed from his prison cell in Rome. And as we pointed out in our study this morning, of all the things that he prayed about, not one time did he ask anything of himself, physically speaking. For example, he had a Roman soldier chained to him for the whole 2 years that he was in prison there in Rome. Not one time did he ask for that Roman soldier to be taken from his side. David made the statement this morning between Bible class. He said, you wonder how many soldiers were converted listening to those prayers that he prayed during those 2 years in prison in Rome. When you really stop and think about his prayer and his prayer life and the way that he prays and the thought that he mentions, there's so many in-depth thoughts and lessons that are taught to us in the form of a prayer. For example, to the Colossian brethren, Paul includes in his prayers petitions for wisdom, for walking, for working, and for waiting. Now, when you're talking about wisdom, you can understand the need for that wisdom. When you're talking about walking, you're thinking about walking in the light as He is in the light. When you're thinking about working, you're thinking about bearing fruit of the Spirit. And of course, when you're thinking about waiting, it's one of the hardest things that we learn to do as Christians, is have patience. Wait. Be patient and wait. Now, in Colossians chapter 1 and at verse 9, we'll begin to look at this wisdom that he talks about. He asked and he said in verse 9 that they'll be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom. Now, think about that for just a few moments. Paul prays for the Colossian brethren that they'll be filled to capacity with the knowledge of His will. In other words, Paul was praying that these Colossian brethren would understand completely, that they would be filled completely with God's will for his fellow man. That they would understand Christ's will for their lives through his teaching, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, why would they need this prayer? What would be beneficial for them in this prayer? Well, as we talked this morning, there were some problems that Paul had learned about, some problems that someone from Colossae had made a trip from Colossae into the city of Rome and was telling Paul, speaking to Paul, and said, "Brother Paul, since you left Colossae, we've had some people that has come into our presence. Some people that are causing a great deal of problem. There's some heresy going on. There's some false teaching that is taking place. There are people there that are teaching that Christ did not come in the flesh. There are people there that are teaching some things that you did not teach. They're adding to the Word of God." So you see why Paul would automatically, first of all, pray for wisdom. Pray for these Colossian brethren. That they would understand the will of God. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15, going through verse 19, he talked about them having the image of the visible God. When you're talking about the term image, when you're talking about the meaning of the definition of the word image, it's talking about something that is uncreated. It's not something that just happened. It is simply emphasizing to the Colossian brethren that when you are in the image, when you are in the image of Christ, you're talking about someone that was God. You're talking about someone that come in the flesh that was God. It's not something that, or someone that was created by God. It is someone that is equal to God. Notice, if you will, in Colossians chapter 2, look, if you will, in verse 9. I'm going back up in verse 8. Paul says, "Beware, lest any man spoil you." The word spoil means to carry you away. And Paul says, now look, I don't want you to be carried away through the philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Notice what he says in verse 9. "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Who is he talking about when he says "in him"? He's not talking about someone that was created like an angel. He was not talking about someone that was like some angelic being created by God. He says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." He's talking about the Son of God. And just because Jesus left heaven, just because he took upon him the form of a servant, just because he offered himself on the cross, does not take away not one dimension from his deity, from his godliness. He was God when he was in heaven. He was God when he created the earth. He was God when he came to this earth and was born of a virgin. He was God when he ascended back up into the heavens above. And when he says here, "For in him dwelleth," it's talking about permanent. "In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." In other words, words, there is not one thing that the sinless Son of God had when He lived on this earth, when He preached and taught on this earth, when He performed miracles on His earth, there was not one thing in Him that was not in equality with God the Father and God the Spirit. Now, we'll go a little bit further. There's a passage of Scripture that you're real familiar with. It's found in Romans, the 10th chapter, down about verse 17. And most of you can quote this verse of Scripture when you begin, when you hear it. You'll be mindful of it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, what was Paul praying for? He was praying for these Christians at Colossae that they may have wisdom, that they may have knowledge. Knowledge about what? The Word of God. The Word of God that cometh by faith. The Word of God that cometh by hearing. And Paul is praying that they might have this knowledge. But now, when you begin talking about the type of knowledge that Paul is praying for these Colossians here, it's a stronger form than that he mentioned to the Roman brethren back in Romans chapter 10 when he said faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. If you'll remember when we were studying in the Old Testament, Solomon made the statement from the Proverbs. He says that the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. You see, there is the beginning of knowledge, but the fear of God causes us, inspires us, creates in us a desire to know more, to have a deeper depth of understanding in regards to this knowledge. The wisdom that Paul is actually talking about and praying that these Colossian brethren have is the type of knowledge that has been digested, that has been comprehended, that has been understood. Now let's stop right there before we finish what type of wisdom and knowledge that Paul is praying for these Colossians. Now that's understandable, right? That he would say, I want you to be able to comprehend what the Word of God is teaching. I want you to understand what you're reading or what you're hearing, what you're listening to from God speaking through the apostles by the inspiration of the Scriptures. I want you to digest it into your heart, your mind, and soul. But then there's one other thing that this actually means and it implies. Not only is he expecting us, as he expected the Colossians, to digest the Word of God, to comprehend the Word of God, to understand the Word of God, but to apply the Word of God. That's where the rubber meets the road. How many people have you known that understood what the Bible taught about baptism? How many people have you understood and known that digested that truth, that understood that truth, that comprehended that truth, but when it came to making the application, for some reason, they would not go down into that watery grave. For some reason, they refused to die like Christ died, to be buried like Christ was buried, to come up a new creation in Christ Jesus. And they walked away in the same condition that they came, even though they digested the truth, they comprehended the truth, they understood the truth. How many times have you seen people that have embraced the truth, have become New Testament Christian, but there's problems that hindered their family life and their families were not growing and maturing like they should? How many times have you known Christians to have been in the church many, many years? They were a spiritual babe when they came into the body, and they're still spiritual babes, though they understood, though they had digested it, though they had comprehended it, they never have made the application. You see, that's really the hard part of our wisdom and our knowledge, is making the application. I remember many years ago, an older preacher all told me, he says, "Now, preacher, when you get through with your lesson, always make the application to today." And that's what Paul was praying for here in the church at Colossae. He says, "Brethren, you've got heresies going on. You've got false teachers everywhere. And I want you, the faithful at Colossae, those that are in Christ Jesus, I want you to have wisdom. I want you to have knowledge. I want you to have the understanding of the Word of God that will make the difference in your life." Remember when we were studying the book of Acts? In Acts chapter 17, there's a section of Scripture that you're also familiar with, just as well as Romans 10. That's where it says the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the Word of God with all readiness. Now, have you ever raised a question? Why? Why were the Bereans more noble than those in Thessalonica? The ones in Thessalonica heard the gospel and obeyed the gospel. They understood it. They digested it. They even embraced it. What set the Bereans apart from those at Thessalonica? Number one, it was their attitude. Think about that. Their attitude made the difference in their lives. They had a readiness of mind. When Paul hit the streets of Thessalonica, they had the attitude that says, "I'm ready. Teach me something." Not only did they have the attitude, but they had the activity. The Bible says they searched the Scriptures daily. They had the accuracy. They wanted to make sure it was what Paul taught. So they searched the Scriptures daily. They studied the Word of God. They wanted to know whether or not it was true or false. And it provided them an accomplishment of success in the church at Berea. It gave them a spiritual advantage that was not there in Thessalonica. There was something about their mindset that caused them to accomplish a great deal spiritually. Many believed the Word of God. Now, as we close out our lesson tonight, we'll pick up next Lord's Day afternoon, and we'll talk a little bit more about Paul's prayer. We talked about wisdom tonight. Next Lord's Day afternoon, we'll have a little bit more time. We'll talk about walking, and we'll talk about working. And if time permits, we'll talk about waiting and the patience that we need as New Testament Christians. But let's think about Paul's prayer for just a moment. Paul's prayer was that we have a fuller insight into the Lord's will. And He wants us to have this knowledge and this insight based upon the process of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Now take into consideration, yes, He wants us to understand it. He wants us to digest it. He wants us to have that knowledge, but He also wants us to apply that knowledge once we have it. You see, that makes the distinction between whether or not we're going to grow spiritually Or if we're going to sit back and say, oh, I can answer that question. You ask me a question and I can tell you the answer. There are many people that can answer the questions. They can answer the biblical question. But when it comes to applying that principle to their lives, it's a different story altogether. That's the reason Paul would tell the Corinthian brethren, brothers, I need to talk to you about some spiritual matters, but you're just too carnal. You're not ready for it. You couldn't understand it if I spoke at this time. Remember, he was talking to the Hebrew brethren. He said, when for the time, in other words, he was saying, you've been in the body long enough to be teachers, but you haven't prepared. You're not ready, spiritually speaking. You're still calm. If you're in the audience this evening, need the prayers of the congregation in any way, why not take the opportunity as we sing this last song? Thank you.